Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. Second time seeing you this week, virtually, admittedly this one. I had the joys of spending some time together in person in London the other day. That was delightful, wasn't it?
It was indeed. As stressful as it is trying to get to London before 9 a.m. for a mastermind, it was relatively beneficial. I honestly, yes. I know this is the part of the show, as you know, where we just go on a wild tangent and then we suddenly discuss what it is that we're talking about. But what blew my mind is in 2 hours, I managed to drive 84 miles. And then I looked on my map and it said, it said like 3.8 miles. 1 hour, and I was like, there's no way. It was basically 2 miles in 1 hour. It was a joke, but we got there, and it was good to see you, Mr. Meredith. It was indeed.
It was, especially when I was taking silly photos of you and drawing dicks on it, because I'm a grown fucking man.
But yeah, I think it's good to get out. I mean, as much as like I had a bit of anxiety because it's like it's Monday and Monday's my day to kind of set the pace for the week. It was actually quite nice. And then usually I have my Tuesday to work. So overall, pretty good. And lots of food for thought going into this year with a few projects, which is pretty damn awesome. Speaking of that, Mr. Meredith, what is our topic of conversation for this episode of the Body and the Beast podcast?
Well, we are going to be talking about all things struggle and stress and just life and business giving you a bit of a kicking and how to keep going, especially when you don't want to or it feels like, you know, the odds are stacked against you. So me and Jay have both been, you know, obviously we both work in the online space quite heavily, but we deal with human beings every single day. That is, you know, our world. That is our job. And there's just a lot of folks personally and professionally who are just feeling it right now. And I know you mentioned on, you know, some of the lives you've been doing and the coaching questions you've been getting lately, there's a lot of folks who are just struggling a bit right now. And equally the same, you know, I've had a few clients who have, you know, we've been doing the business stuff and the marketing stuff, you know, the kind of stuff they hire me for, who've just been struggling a little bit with their thoughts and with what, you know, the hands life are dealing with them. So we thought today we would just sort of like freestyle on some of the, you know, mental models and the methodologies that we use. You know, we're still human beings as well, that we use to keep going when, you know, things get a little bit more challenging.
100%. And one of the things I want to say is when you do fuck up with something, when you do make a mistake, when you do mess things up, I think one of the important things to understand is everybody feels the same. Nobody in their right mind goes, oh, I failed this. Amazing. You know, as much as you see these podcasts and that, people go, oh, I love failure. I love it. And it's like, no, they fucking hate it. Everybody hates not being like putting their all into something and it not working. But something that we spoke about in this podcast before is that gap, and it's that little gap between something that happens to you and how you respond, how you choose to respond, or where you go from there. And I think this is what we're talking about with regards to the mental models when we, you know, with our approach to things, etc., etc. So I'll be interested in your approach or one of your approaches, Dan, to when you are struggling and what it is that you do.
I think sort of like you kind of touched on it there, and we've definitely brought this up in a podcast in the past, but it's something that is worth repeating again, which is just increasing the gap between your reaction and your response. So naturally, I am quite a reactive person. Something comes in, I do something. You know, I notice something, I make a change or I do so. I've been very reactive in the past. Over the last few years, you know, probably more than a few years, I've really, really worked on increasing that gap. So if something happens, if I get, you know, a less than ideal message, something shit happens to me, you know, someone gives me some bullshit on Messenger or whatever, whatever it may be, whatever the thing that may happen is, I have learned to just take a pause and not react immediately. And it is often for me, because of the sort of job, it's often something you've been sent on your phone, it's a message, you know, it's a call, it's something like that. And I have just learned, like, one of the little things that I do is, if something shit happens or I get a less than ideal message or something's gone wrong, is I will take my phone and I will put it in a different room. So I will often, so I've got a little old school kind of MP3 player. So, you know, if it works with the time of day, if not, I will just, you know, I'll just do something in my apartment, but I will tend to put some music on and go for a little walk. So I'll just go, cool, I'm just going to change my location, which helps me change my state. And I'm just going to have a think about things. So before I react to anything, respond to anything, I just increase that gap between reaction and response. So I just take time to think before I react. Okay. So that has been the biggest thing that I have found, and that I've realized that shit's going to happen regardless. We said this on another podcast recently. The only thing you can guarantee on is things are going to change. Things aren't always going to go your way. You know, you can do things with the best intentions, the best effort, and it might fall flat on its face. That just happens, especially in business. But I've learned to just, like I said, pause, look at what's being sent to me, look at what's happened, try and look at it objectively, and switch my brain out of pure reaction mode and go into, cool, that's happened. That's a thing. That's some data. That's something that I have to now deal with. I've now given myself a bit of space to think about it, and I'm going to think about solutions or how I can solve that problem now. So rather than worrying about what has happened, well, it's happened now. There is nothing, like, I can't undo the thing or the occurrence happening to me. But what I can do is influence what I do afterwards. And just having that little pause, that bit of time, sometimes, honestly, it's sleeping on things overnight. I'm a big fan of just sleeping on things, letting all your neurochemicals just reset back down to zero and attacking things with a clear head. But for me, taking time, reflecting, moving my body a little bit, and then coming up with a list of things that I can do, influence, motivate, persuade, actions I can take, is the main thing that I do. And also, I try to understand, and it is hard when you're in the middle of the shit, that this is just a moment in time. Every other shitty thing that's happened to me, or every time something's gone wrong in my life, I have got through it. I'm here now. I've got through everything bad that's happened to me, and I know I will get through this one, and I know that will happen. And if I just trust myself, if I trust, you know, my thoughts and past me, I can take action to influence my present.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I agree with that. There's some interesting things that I've spoken about for the last few weeks about something called neurogenesis. And it's a long word to basically explain that us as humans, as adults, we create about 700 brain cells a day. We actually, you know, build brain cells. And a lot of those brain cells are created in what's known as the hippocampus of our brain. Mm-hmm. And the hippocampus responsibility is for emotions, problem solving, and all of the things that which we require to use when shit hits the fan, when things don't work out. And when we kind of do things such as, you know, there are things which affect neurogenesis, and there are things mm-hmm. which help improve neurogenesis. And what's really, I find really fascinating with it is that the things that hinder neurogenesis are kind of the things that you want to do to basically help solve the problem. Things that affect neurogenesis are a lot of processed foods, alcohol, and not getting enough sleep. Now, what happens when shit hits the fan? You want to go to those things. Mm-hmm. You want to lack of sleep, alcohol, eat shit food. And it becomes this circle of going, okay, cool. You need to be in a headspace to problem solve, hence what the, you know, neurogenesis and the hippocampus does. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all of these things which make it even harder to fucking think. And of course, it's common, you know, they are quick release coping mechanisms for stress. Mm-hmm. But the things that increase them of course, are exercise, getting enough sleep, eating good quality foods, making sure, you know, the thing. So
it's the opposite of all the things you want to do when stress kicks in.
100%. And when you exercise, as in like whenever I'm stressed, I go for a run. I hardly ever run, mm-hmm. but whenever I'm super, super stressed, my default is to go for a run, 6 miles, figure it out. And nine times out of 10, I feel better once I've done it and I've figured it out because my brain's running. I feel good. I've got some thinking time and it helps me solve that problem. Once again, you know, I'm doing good for that part of my brain, which helps me increase my problem solving. So the science in that is really, really interesting. But why people get, you know, it becomes more and more and more difficult because when you get more and more and more struggle, you search for more and more and more coping mechanisms, the short-term ones. And one of the things that I found is when life gets a bit more difficult for me, I really get down to, okay, cool. What are things that I can control and what are things that I can't control? And what I find is when I'm going through a stressful time, my habits and routines go through the roof. I even say to myself, I stop drinking. I focus on my nutrition. I make sure I do not miss a workout. I make sure I get in my ice bath. I start bringing back in more regular breath work and stretching. And funnily enough, that helps exponentially, not only making me feel better, but coming up with the ideas that I need to get through that struggle. And here's the thing, it's not fucking easy, okay? Because I love, you know, whenever I get stressed, when I want to reduce stress, I do love a beer, okay? I love alcohol. I love it as a coping mechanism. It's spectacular. But that, once again, is not going to help solve my problem. So that's why I either reduce it down or remove it completely when I'm going through that time. So, you know, that's just the real as to why you need to do that. I've got a lot of kind of weird mental models. And I think you've seen this firsthand when we had the whole Facebook ads drama at yours. You know, like you said, oh, you know, we don't need to do this. I said, look, everything that I could have done has been done now. So there's nothing more that I can do. And once now there's nothing more than I can do, why do I need to worry about it? There's no, you know, like I've done everything within my power. Everything else is out of my control. Cool. Let's go in and have a good night. So,
and we did, and it was, you know, you got yourself back onto track and it is, and obviously you've practiced that. And I will say to anyone who's listening, who's going through, you know, a stressful situation or a challenging period of time, or just everything's fucking up, you know, whatever you may be going through. And I hope you're not, listener. I hope you're not. I hope everything is good. But understanding that there's only so much you can do. So I'm a big fan of, so like I said, for me, it is that creating space. You know, I went through a few work stresses last year, and I'm going through some positive work stress at the moment. I've got an event to put on. I've got my new book coming out. I've had some clients leave. I've had some clients come in. There's all these offers. There's just, I am stretched thin, but in a good way. This is positive stress, okay? But one of the things that I make sure I do is when I start to feel like I'm being pulled in a lot of directions, there's a lot of things that need my attention, I will carve out some time. So I actually did this yesterday. I took the whole day off. I moved my diary around. So basically me for the rest of the week is a little bit pinched. I've had to condense a little bit of work into it, which is fine. You know, these weeks happen. But that day that I had gave me space to think. And it gave me space to think about, okay, what can I do? What can I influence? What actions can I take? And honestly, I just called all of my team members. I had one-to-ones. I've got like a group of, you know, friends, like really, really close friends and, you know, confidants who are very successful in different spaces. So I had a call with all my pals. These, you know, very successful people that are mates as well. So I rang them up, told them about some ideas, some things I was working on, got some clarity on those pieces. And honestly, I think this started at about 9 a.m. yesterday, and by 2 o'clock, I'd had several calls, a couple of Zooms, read a few articles, you know, seen some stuff by people that I know are in that space, and I had complete clarity on where I was, on my current situation, figured out the problems that were most pressing. And I thought, right, I need this person to do that. I need to do that. I blocked out time in my diary to work on this other thing. This has been handed off and everything else has just been put onto the back burner on maintenance until it's done. So for me, and I'll say to you, I call it like the sort of, when your head's a bit like soup, you actually need to give yourself some space to think. Because if you are constantly firefighting and constantly reacting to stress and trauma and pain, you are never really going to get the clarity that you need. And once you get clarity, once you know what you can do and influence, then you've got a to-do list. And if you start doing those things, potentially straight away, but for off people it's not, but in time, things will start to trend up. And even in the space of just 24 hours, I've taken a couple of actions, literally a couple of actions, done some posts, reached out to some people, and it's already started off conversations that are moving me in the direction I want to go to. But if I didn't have that day, I wouldn't have had the time to think about what it is I need to do. I'd have just carried on as normal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100% it does. I've got a few mental models that I use, Dan, and some of them are stolen from other people, which I've really liked, and some of them are kind of my own. And you've got to find ones that work for you. You really have. You know, the way that my brain works is very different to the way that other people's works. The first one I want to talk about is one that I got from Jocko Willink, and it's just one word: good.
I know the exact bit of content you're talking about.
And I love it. It's like, you fucked up that thing. Good. Oh, you didn't hit your goals. Good. And I just love, I just hear Jocko's voice. It's like, good. Because the whole point in the good is really understand this. It's not good, but it's this kind of thing which I have in my head. It's like, and I've had this on a lot of my endurance events and everything. It's like you come up with a problem or something happens and you're like, good, this is what I'm built for, this mm-hmm. is what I'm made of, this is the world giving me a test to see how much I want this thing.
Oh mate, that is so fucking true. I had this exact conversation with a friend of mine this morning. She's very successful in kind of like what I do, but in the corporate space. So we're really, really good pals, but she does. And I said to her, I said, you know, whether the universe, life, serendipity, you know, whatever you want to call it, okay? What tends to happen, and when I look back over the times where I've had like real exponential growth or really good shit happen to me, preceding it, maybe not immediately, but if I track it back, there was some dog shit that happened to me at some point, or something went wrong, or I failed on something, or everything went tits up, or I had an issue with something happened to me, which ended up happening for me in a good reason, because it's almost like the universe is saying, right, you want to go up a level. So you're currently here and you're doing well, but you want to go up to this level. Okay, well, I'm going to fucking test you and I'm going to see how much you fucking want it. Because if you don't want it, you're going to stay where you are. And, you know, I had some tests thrown at me and I remember my phrase is lean in. So I remember a couple of things happened and I actually found myself sat there smiling, and I just literally was smiling to myself. And I just said to myself, come on then, lean in. And it was just the case of like, come on then, you fucker. Is that what you're going to throw at me? Well, I'm going to fucking throw back. And just lent into the discomfort. And it's like, you know, if I want this new level, this new life, this new revenue stream, this new experience, again, whatever it is you do, the universe is going to say to you, all right then, fucker, prove it.
Yeah. And, you know, I've spoken about this on a previous podcast about the invisible enemy when I'm saying that people secretly want me to fail, which gives me energy to go, you know, driven by spite to say, fuck you, even though no one's thinking that because too many, you know, people have got their own problems and they haven't got any time to think about me. But it doesn't stop me thinking that to use it as fuel. And my mental model with this is that I imagine that there's two people in the sky and there's a guy going, you see that guy there, Jay Alderton, right? He's going to be exceptional. And I want to give him all the success in the world. And the person that he works with goes, yeah, not yet. He needs to pass this test first. And I imagine that there's lots of people in the world that have these two people that are pointing out the people who deserve success and don't. Mm-hmm. And they have to run them through a series of tests. And they're just seeing what they're made of. And they have to go through these tests in order to get the thing that they want. And a lot of the time, those people who are giving you those tests, that person gives up, and the person who really wanted him to do well is really disappointed. But the other guy always says, I told you so. told you he couldn't do that. I told you if we gave him that, he would give up. And that's, you know, that's why I'm harsh on you giving him these tests. And it, once again, it's just his mental model. There is no person up in the sky. There is no this, that, or the other. But if you can visualize this kind of thing of going, ah, okay, cool. This is shit right now. This is really hard. I should be successful by now. I should have everything I ever wanted by now. Ah, I get it now. You're waiting to turn around to him and say, yeah, I told you he didn't really want it. So it's like, good, fucking good. You think that's difficult? Nah, bring it on. Let's fucking go. And I just think it's so important to create your own mental models around this. And these are all visualization techniques. And these are all mental models which are going to help you through difficult times. Because what you're really trying to get out of these things is this spurt of motivation and drive to go, you know, to get up, to dust yourself off, to look at the opportunities that come with struggle and to figure it out. And, you know, a quote that I love so much is, you don't learn anything from a perfect week. And
oh, whenever, God, that's really good.
Yeah, because you have a great week and you're in a good mood, but you don't reflect on why it's a good week. You own, you know, like, you're like, oh, it's a good week. Sorry, you don't reflect when it's a shit week. And this is the thing. No. It's like, if you've had a really shit week, you want to forget the week and move on to a better week. But that's a surefire way of guaranteeing you that you're probably going to have another shit week because you haven't learned the lessons from the shit week that you've had. Because if you do a review, you know, your three wins for the day, your three wins for the week, what worked, what didn't work, and what are you going to go into next week? All the things which I tell people to do, but they fucking don't do. It's fucking mad that they don't. And they know they need to do it. They know, you know, it's this kind of thing of, you know, three things I'm grateful for. And, you know, when I'm speaking into my group of, you know, clients now, I go, what are your three wins this week? And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, fucking put them down. What you're training your brain to do when you are reviewing your wins, what works, what didn't, you are training your brain to see the good in everything that happens and to figure out when it doesn't happen. So it's like, cool, why didn't that happen? 9 times out of 10, it's because you fucked it up. You weren't looking at the signs. You did something wrong and there wasn't enough pain there for you to do something different. And
that's really good, mate.
And it's just super important to do because if you reflected more, if you wrote more stuff down, if you were focusing more on the things that you actually did right, worked out the things that you did wrong, you'd be a million miles further to where it is that you want to be by the end of this year.
I really like that one, mate. And you just reminded me, this is, honestly, I've only been trying this for days. It is days. And I think, so feel free to look it up, listener. I think it might have been a short that somebody else shared. You know, I was just hammering some reels. I do like seeing, you know, I do like a little reel burst every now and then. And I've got a mixture of, you know, funny stuff and motivational stuff. And I think it was from a Joe Rogan podcast. I think it was. So I'm not stealing this as my own. But whoever it was basically said, imagine you have a documentary crew. So it's kind of like your person in the sky, wanting you to film, following you around and observing you. So they're filming everything you do, everything you say, the actions you take, everything you're doing to kind of, you know, and they are literally trying to film you to see your ascension, your rise to this thing that you're going for. And I honestly have spent the last few days just pretending that somebody is watching me and recording me and thinking, are these actions that I'm taking in line with someone who would be having a documentary about their meteoric rise to success? And it's actually made me stop a couple of times, things I'm doing, think I'm wasting my time on that. And equally, I've, you know, we all have times where we have downtime and we're a little bit lazier and stuff. And I was honestly, mate, I was knackered the other day, you know, traveling to and from London. I was just all over the place. Lots of meetings, lots of stuff. Like my schedule's really, really packed this week. And there was some stuff that I needed to do. And I said, I'll do it later. which is the worst thing you can say to yourself. And I remember that little thought popped into my head, like, would the documentary crew be watching me now, lying on my sofa, looking at absolute fucking nonsense on the internet? Or would they want to see me, you know, getting up, hustling, making things happen? And of course, you do need downtime and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, nope, get your ass up, get onto the laptop, get it. And I did it. And it was just a little helpful thing to remind me. It's just like, you know, are the actions that I am taking in line with the person that I want to be? And if they're not, again, doesn't mean you're a failure, doesn't mean you're a fuck up. It's just like, cool, do something about it then. If you're not happy where you are, look at the actions you're taking. Imagine someone's watching you and wanting you to win and all that kind of stuff. They're filming you and they're following every step you're doing. Are the actions you're taking in line with someone who deserves that level of, you know, success or achievement or goals? And if they're not, well, you know what to fucking do.
Yeah, 100%. I call this the Truman effect. So I look, like everyone knows or hopefully has seen the Truman Show with Jim Carrey, where he was bought by a television network when he was a baby, and he's filmed 24 hours a day in his own own world, and he's on
created
TV
for him.
For him. And I use it for two things. It's like people genuinely think that the world is revolved around them when it's not, so they're not in the Truman Show. But even if you were in that Truman Show, a bit like the director of your own movie, are people going to switch off and go, well, this is shit, this guy is boring? Yeah. Well, actually, no. Like, you know, like they probably get more views because, like, this guy's a car crash. What's he going to do next? So it'd probably be good for the TV ratings if we're being honest. But I think it's this kind of thing of those values and falling in line. One thing that was really interesting last week, I started to feel a lot more burnt out than usual last week. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had my 5-day challenge on and it's like really full on with the check-ins and, you know, and doing everything. But at the same time, I was like, why? I got to the end of the week and reviewing the week, I was like, why do I feel so fucked? And funnily enough, I made the good decision because at the moment this year, a commitment I've made is to do a daily vlog. By daily, I do it kind of Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And I opted last week not to do it because it's too much to, it takes me about an hour to edit all the video and film and everything. But that added with about 2 hours of check-ins every night, I was like, it's too much. But because I wasn't filming, some of the habits and routines that I normally film, I didn't do.
And oh, really?
Yeah. And I got back into it, straight back into it this week. And the thing is I have a certain routine on the vlog. So I had to do the things like such as my, you know, cold plunge, my stretching and everything else. And it made me like, I was like, I haven't done my cold Tuesday. I hadn't done my cold plunge because I got up a stretch and I went straight to work, working on the sofa to about 9 o'clock. And I was like, well, you're filming this today and you haven't done the cold plunge. And actually at the beginning of the vlog, you said that you're doing a cold plunge today. And then my head goes, yeah, but I can delete that bit of the vlog. I don't need to, I could edit that bit out. And I was like, this is my own brain talking. And I'm like, yeah, but like we're having to have this conversation about maybe spending a bit more time editing something out, which might take a couple of minutes, or we can jump in the fucking ice bath.
Just
and that takes
it.
2 fucking minutes to get in the fucking ice bath. And I was like, ah, and I actually got out. I was like, oh, okay. You know, this is the director of my own movie. It's like I am showing a vlog of who I want to be as a person, not who I am, who I want to be and who I want to show people. And if I'm not that person, I'm not in line with myself. So what the vlog helping me to do is to stick with the things that I made a promise to myself to do. So very much like a director, I'm directing my own vlog, not just for, you know, showing people what it is that I do, but holding myself accountable for doing it.
Yeah. And it just, it's a bit of a sidestep here because you just reminded me of something I touched upon earlier. And obviously me and Jay speak often, you know, we're very lucky to have, you know, each other as a sounding board on various things. We both got different skills we can bring to the table for one another as friends. But what I will say is that there is a time and a place to sit and reflect and review. And I used to not do that as much. That's now something. But then I went the other way. I got really good at sitting on my own, reflecting, trying to problem solve, which is good, which is a really good skill to have and is a very useful exercise to do. But when you are in that suck and when you are feeling it, things are, you know, your back's maybe a little bit up against the wall, I cannot say this or is reach out to people, reach out to, you know, obviously if it's, you know, if it's life stuff, friends and family and partners and stuff, have a conversation with them and let them know what you're struggling with. And don't be afraid to ask for help. If it's more in the business side of things, reaching out to experts, you know, watching, you know, videos, listening to podcasts of people who've, you know, suffered the same thing, getting yourself a coaching call, investing in someone that you want to work, any of that sort of stuff. You know, I've had a real mixture of those things over the last couple of months because a few areas that I wanted to tune on. And initially, there was a part of me that felt maybe a little bit weak, that I needed help. And it's like, there was nothing wrong, but I just needed fine tuning and pointing in direction in a few different areas. And then I thought to myself, shut up, you fucking knob. Okay, what are the areas that you need tuning up on or advice on? You've got a phenomenal network. Reach out to those people and have a conversation. And that's what I did. And then surprise, surprise, a couple of weeks later, I'm clear on absolutely everything that I need to do. But if I'd have sat with just my own thoughts for company, I would not have the clarity. And you'll be, and here's the thing, you will be amazed how many people will help you. You'd be amazed how kind people are, how giving people are, how much people are happy to give their time for you. Not everyone, okay? And you also have to respect the fact if you do reach out to someone for help and advice and it is not like a commercial arrangement, they might not be able to give it to you, they might be busy, they might not see your message, you know, that's sort of, that's okay. It doesn't mean they're bad people or that you're not worth talking to. Like all of us, just might be just busy, okay? But reaching out, getting help and advice when you are in the suck is incredibly useful. One of the things that I said, and I've had, you know, I've had a few clients who've just struggled lately, similar to the kind of thing you were saying to me before we got on the podcast. And the fact of the matter is, I said to them, I have been through all the same things. Loads of my clients have been through the same things. It's like a lot of people think they alone have just suffered that and they don't want to look weak or foolish or that they fucked up or anything like that. Whereas actually, most of us have been through the same shit. We have the same problems. We have the same wants, needs, and desires, give or take. And we've all been through something. And you'll be amazed if you just open up to the right people, the peace of mind and clarity you can get. Firstly, by realizing you are not alone. Okay, just realizing that other people go through the same things. I won't name names. We've got quite a few mutual successful friends and we've kind of had sidebar conversations and one-to-ones. And it's kind of like, you know, the further up the tree you get, just for those of you who are listening, who are kind of in the more business and entrepreneurial, but it does get a little bit more lonelier. You do find yourself a bit more isolated and you kind of think, you know, who can I trust? Who can I talk to? But when you do open up to the right people and, you know, have those connections and reach out to people, they've been through the same shit you have. And, you know, I've got people who are, you know, way more successful than me that I'm able to reach out to and have conversations. And they've been through the sort of growing pains and the problems that I've had. So just understand if you're going through some shit right now or you're feeling like, you know, you're taking a few body shots and you get knocked around a little bit. All of us have. Okay. All of us have to wonder. We all have shit happen to us. We all have things goes wrong. We're all human beings. No one has a clean sheet. No one's perfect. And, you know, bear in mind, you know, especially if you follow people online with social media, like that's what they choose to show you as opposed to the reality of what may actually be happening behind the scenes. So just understand we all of us go through, you know, money problems, relationship problems, health problems, sleep problems. You know, we all go through shit at different times. Yeah, we've all endured some bullshit. So you're not alone. Other people have gone through it and there's people who've got solutions out there for you. You've just got to go and have a conversation with them.
Yeah, 100%. And people worth their weight in salt, they are more annoyed that you haven't reached out to ask for help than judging you for doing so, if that makes sense. Because one of the limiting beliefs that a lot of people have is that firstly, they think they can figure it out themselves, and very well, mm-hmm. you might do. And that's probably the worst thing that can happen, because now you've associated being able to figure something out with not asking for help. Secondly, yeah. I come back to this thing that I say a lot with Solomon's paradox. And Solomon's paradox is about King Solomon, a very wise guy who, once again, would answer and fix most of his people's problems, but he was an absolute fucking train wreck himself. He was an alcoholic. He was he is an absolute fucking train wreck. And it just goes to show that, you know, you could be very good at what you do, okay, and still have simple problems that can easily be solved by, you know, by leaning on somebody else and asking for help. And I think it's just such a powerful thing, because when I'm ever asking for help, you know, it's normally because I just want an outside perspective so I can then tell people everything that I'm doing, which is always too much. And then they can just pick a few things out and go, why aren't you just doing that? And then 9 times out of 10, I say to myself, why aren't I just doing that? You know, I got up at our mastermind and it's like, I've just figured out the thing that's, you know, just in this last 10 minutes of the whole day, I've just figured out the thing that I need to lean in on and go in on. And, you know, pretty much I could have walked around to everyone in that room and they said, yeah, well, we were a bit surprised that you weren't doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was quite funny, because obviously, you know, that's that external point of view. You know, you can't see your own blind spots, and you often can't get the clarity on the issues that you're facing right now. So having an external person looking, and I, you know, it depends on the situation, on the issue you're going through. But I often find someone who, you know, a good person who does care, who, you know, is a decent human who has knowledge in that space, but isn't, you know, emotionally connected to you. That's why, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, I've got coaches and, you know, mentors for most parts of my life, because these are people that I have, you know, a commercial arrangement with to give me advice based on their expertise. You know, I'm further ahead because of that. And I often have to say that to my clients, like when they go through the shit and I'm like, you know, they're paying me money to be their coach and mentor, depending on what it is we're doing. And I sort of sometimes I've had to literally drill a couple of them who've let me know some shit's gone down in the week. I'm like, that's what I'm here for. Message me, reach out to me. Like, you know, I reached out to someone the other day, just like, hey, how's it going? You hadn't heard each other since the check-in. Having an absolute mare. And I'm like, no worries, this is all fixable. And I was like, we got on the phone, we literally 20 minutes, figured out the solution to the problem, gave her some action steps, and she's off to the races. And I remember saying to her, why didn't you message me? And she goes, you know what she said? I didn't want to bother you. And I was like, you are my client. You are allowed to bother me. That is the relationship we have. But, you know, again, sort of touching on what Jay said here, there's, you know, everyone does have problems and issues and stuff. And it's like, you know, especially if you're, like you said in the King Solomon, if you're the person that's always helping other people with their problems, okay, and you've got some problems yourself, do you know what? My advice is, for a period of time, be a little bit selfish. So it doesn't mean you don't have to, don't turn into an arsehole, don't cut people off, you know, still be the nice person that you are. But it's often easier to solve other people's problems than it is your own. But you know, to treat yourself like you're your own best friend and have the conversation with yourself that you would have with your best friend if they were going through the problems that they are going through. Sometimes you need to turn all that energy and all that goodwill and all that, you know, altruistic goodness internally onto yourself and treat yourself like your own best friend to solve your own problems. And again, you heard the phrase, you know, you cannot pour from an empty cup. If you're fucked, you can't help anyone. So every now and then I will do this. I'll go internal. I'll focus on my own shit. Why? Because if I look after myself well and sort my problems out, then I can help other people better and I can help more people as well.
100%. Part of my book, I come up with this concept called the friend's lens. And it's and it's an important one. And it's this. If you're struggling with something, what you got to do is put your friend's lens on. And the friend's lens is this. What would you say to a friend if they came to you with this problem? Mm. And then you, of course, tell them what they should do. And then, of course, that essentially is the thing that you should do. So it's kind of solving your own problem. But also at the same time, this friend's lens is, what are your current habits and routines? You know, what are you doing to yourself at the moment? And asking yourself, if you treated a friend like this, how long would they be a friend for? So it's this kind of reflection where, you know, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not eating right, and, you know, you're constantly stressed and you're, you know, making sure that your friend doesn't get much sleep, feeding them shit food and then just causing them an abundance of stress every day. I'll give them a week and they'll go, fuck you, Jay.
Yeah. You know? Get wrecked.
And I think this is such an important thing because, you know, when I talk about accountability, we let ourselves down every day. We will convince ourselves to not do or do stuff. But when somebody else is involved – we are very much concerned about how that person views us, which then gives us the motivation and drive to do the thing, you know. And having that kind of introspection on that friend's lens actually gets you to realize your own patterns of behavior, and that you need to treat yourself better, and you need to think about, you know, a lot of the time when you are getting advice from people, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just so, that makes so much sense, and it's so obvious. And it's like, it's mm-hmm. only obvious if you put a lens on, you know. Yeah. Comes back to this quote of, you can't see your label when you're stuck inside the jar. The friend's lens is about getting out of the fucking jar, having a look and going, oh, fuck, it's obvious when you're out of there. So,
yeah,
it's once again, another mental model that you can use to help solve those problems.
Yeah, the sort of last one I sort of wanted to wrap up from myself today is just, this is going to sound overly simplistic, but sometimes you need something really simple, okay? And honestly, it's a little phrase that I have in my head. There's certain phrases in my head that live in there rent-free, like future you will thank you is one of my favorite ones. But if in doubt, do something, okay? So what I found is taking action based on a best guess. That's it. So if in doubt, do something, brackets, based on a best guess. Okay. So if I am feeling it or not in a good place or something's gone wrong or something's not working or whatever, I think, cool. I take my time, I have my thoughts, and I'll come up with what I think I should do next based on, and then I'll just do it. Now I've got two things that will happen. Either it'll work or it won't. So if it's worked, good. I'm moving the needle in the right direction. If it hasn't worked, well, guess what? If in doubt, do something. I'll do something else. Now I know that one avenue doesn't work, I'll do something different. And I will just keep repeating that process. And what I find is that motion creates motion. I start doing stuff, more things start to happen. I start to have more conversations. I get more clarity. I get clear on what I need to do. Then good things start to drop. I don't know when they're going to drop, but sitting still, so being at rest, doing nothing, solves nothing. So for me, my sort of closing statement for this podcast is, if in doubt, based on a best guess, do something.
And my kind of close out for that is very much the same. People are like bikes. And this is something that Dr. Maxwell Maltz said. And where he was going with this is, you know, if you sit on a bike and you don't move, it's really hard to steer and it's wobbly as fuck. But as soon as you get momentum with the bike, it's easier to balance and steer. And that is essentially your life. You know, as Dan said, do something means get momentum, move forward.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier to figure things out when you start taking action. Yeah. So really enjoyed that episode, Mr. Meredith.
This was a fun one. And if you're going through the shit, you know, it's a cheesy old saying and you've heard it before and it's a bit motivational, but you know, tough times don't last, tough people do. So just yeah, exactly. There's that one. If you know what that is, it's a very funny meme. But look, just keep going. Eventually, it won't be so shit as long as you start doing stuff. So, you know, if you are going through some tough times, you know, you have our sympathies, but, you know, keep going and keep doing things and you'll be out the other side at some point. You will get there.
100%. Ladies and gents, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Body and the Beast. And if you did, let us know. Screenshot you listening. Send us a message Instagram. Share it to somebody else who you think would benefit from listening to this. If they're going through a bit of a tough time right now, I hope this will help. But ladies and gents, as always, I've been your body, Jamie Lawton.
And I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.